I invite you to turn in your Bibles back there to Ezekiel chapter 34, where we read earlier in our service. When we come to this chapter, we are presented with a very sad scene. It portrays a flock of sheep that has been cruelly treated by its shepherds. Picture the scene. The ribs of these shorn sheep are sticking out, and you see those ribs on the sides of their pale and trembling bodies. The flock has been shorn by the shepherds. They got what they wanted, but they did not give the sheep what they needed. They gave them no shelter. They gave them no food. Many of the sheep lie on the ground, having no strength to stand on their feet, or because their legs have been broken and there's been no shepherd to bind up their broken limbs. The wilderness is dotted with lone and frightened and frigid sheep. They've been scattered and left for prey to any wild beast that would devour them. And since sheep have no defense mechanism but to bleat, you hear the bleating of these lone, wandering, lost sheep scattered about all of the hillside in your scene. These sheep have been left in the dark, left in a dangerous night, without fold and without food and without a shepherd. And of course, the passage is not really about sheep. It's not really about shepherds. It's about Israel and her false shepherds. Israel is God's flock. How often in this chapter did he refer to them as my flock? They're the apple of his eye, his peculiar possession. But regarding these false shepherds, they have been unfaithful to their supposed calling. And because they cared nothing for God's people, because they did not feed the sheep faithfully with the word of God, God instructs Israel to prophesy against them. They had used the sheep for their own personal gain. And he is going to prophesy against these phony religious leaders and tell them that God is against them, and that God is going to judge them, and that God himself will, as a shepherd, seek out all his lost and scattered sheep and bring them back into the fold, feeding them and binding up their wounds and giving them restoring rest. And the way that God will fulfill this promise is by the ministry of Jesus Christ. In verse number 23, he says that he will set up one shepherd over them, even his servant David, and that he will feed them and be their shepherd. Now, of course, when this prophecy is written, David has been dead for centuries. He speaks here of the son of David, that man who came announcing, "I am the good shepherd. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. The sheep did not hear them. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." And perhaps there's no greater image in the Scripture, no more precious metaphor than this image of sheep and a shepherd when it comes to the believer's relationship with Jesus Christ. It's an Old Testament image interwoven in so many hundreds of references. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, even the prophet Amos were all shepherds. And pastoral imagery runs right through the Old Testament. How often we read of the flock of God, sometimes feeding in green pastures and drinking by still waters, sometimes scattered on bleak mountainsides, sometimes traversing the valley of the shadow of death, sometimes carried in the arms of their shepherd. It seems that whenever the Holy Spirit wished to highlight the character of the relationship between God and His people, He would move the sacred writers to picture it with these words, "The Lord is my shepherd." This past Wednesday evening, my prayer talk was on the advantages of a broken heart. And I went through the Old Testament and all those places where we have the word broken or contrite mentioned, and encouraged us to each be praying for more of a broken heart over sin. And in that search through the Old Testament, I came up with about 10 different references that used those words. And I came upon verse 16 of Ezekiel 34. And this verse was impressed deeply upon me at that time. And it'll be our text for this morning. Ezekiel 34 and verse number 16. "I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment." This is where I want our thoughts to be turned to this morning. The Lord as our faithful shepherd, tenderly meeting every spiritual need in the experience of His sheep. I am convinced that many people under the sound of my voice fall into one of these categories that's mentioned in verse 16. There are five categories here. You see them very easily. Most of you fall into one of these categories. Some of you fall into the category, unfortunately, of the end of the statement, the fat and the strong. A category of people that relies on their own strength, their own counsel to navigate through this world. They lean to their own understanding, and they do not acknowledge God in all their ways. You may never admit to that. But your closed Bible and your prayerlessness betrays the fact that you're going at it alone, and that you will rely on your own strength rather than submit yourselves to God. You continue in religious traditions such as this because it has a way of soothing your conscience. Because it's a very comfortable thing to continue in traditions that you developed since childhood. But your will has never been broken by the Spirit of God. And you've never come to an end of yourself. And you've never really submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And there is no life of God in your soul. And you, if you are in that category of the fat and the strong, you are in danger, my friend. You're in danger. Pray that the words of my text will break that proud, stony, stubborn heart of yours. And that you will be found to Christ, the shepherd, this morning as we work our way through verse 16. The fat and the strong receive judgment from God. But then there are these first four descriptions in our text. Our first four. And many who are not in that last category of the fat and the strong can find themselves in one of these four conditions of spirit this morning. Perhaps you're lost. Perhaps you're driven away. Perhaps you're broken. Perhaps you're sick. In each of these cases, there is a promise in our text of Christ's restoring grace He'll bring you back to your proper place if you are in one of those categories. For the lost, he will seek them. For the driven away, he will bring them back. For the crippled ones, he will mend their brokenness. For the sickly ones, he will strengthen them. And all of this can be summed up in that one precious statement from the 23rd Psalm. He restoreth my soul. And so this morning I would like for us to take up these descriptions and use them as the outline and consider together the theme, Christ restoring his sheep. Christ restoring his sheep. And oh, that you would find yourself in one of these descriptions this morning, and that you would find the Good Shepherd restoring your soul as we meditate on these precious truths. The first category in verse 16 are those that are lost. This is the first person who needs Christ's restoring grace in our text. The lost. I will seek that which was lost. Now, what is this spiritual state? The lost. Well, I'm going to take this as describing someone who is not yet converted. They're lost. That's how the Bible speaks of you. Lost. Now let me clear away two things preliminarily here. Clear them away out of our thinking so as to be very clear as to what I mean to say. You might say that if they're unconverted, then they're not Christ's sheep. But that's not entirely true. Because there are sheep who belong to Christ according to eternal election, but are not yet in their experience within the fold. This is made abundantly clear even in that passage we read earlier this morning when Christ says, I have other sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Christ's sheep belong to Christ before they're found of him. They were given to him by the Father. And they eventually come to him and hear his voice because they were given to him. And so it can be possible for someone to be a sheep but not yet have come to Jesus Christ, to be a lost sheep. And oh, that there would be among us lost lambs this morning. Unconverted souls who have not yet come to Jesus Christ. They're lost. But you might say, well, if they're unconverted, then they really are among the fifth category, right? They're the strong and they're the fat. And what you have here is a distinction without a difference. Well, it's true that if someone is lost, then they are exposed to the wrath and curse of God. That being converted and being outside the fold of God, that they are exposed to the judgment at the end of this verse speaks of. But the essential difference between the lost at the beginning of the verse and the fat and the strong at the end of the verse is that the lost know it and they're concerned about it. These descriptions are not dry analysis. These descriptions are descriptions of someone's experience. They feel broken. They feel a lack of strength and disease. They feel driven away. They feel lost. The fat and the strong, they're lost too. But they don't sense that they are lost, and they don't care that they're lost. They're going their own stubborn way. But the people in the first category, they're lost not only in their status, but they're lost in their experience as well. They know They're lost. They lack strength, and they know it. A man who is in danger is not really lost until he's come to an end of himself, till he recognizes that he is truly powerless. If a man has fallen overboard in the ocean, as long as he can still swim, he's not lost. And as long as he has the strength in his grip to clutch that floating object, he's not going to give up all hope as lost. And as long as he's in the earshot of the other sailors on the boat, and they're scrambling to find a life preserver, he knows he's not lost. As long as he has these, hope will continue to whisper in his ear that he's not yet lost. There's still a chance. But that man does not describe this man in our text. This person has given up on themselves. This person feels powerless because he is powerless. Have you ever been brought to feel that if your salvation depended on one movement of your heart in the right direction, that you would be eternally lost, for you have no spiritual strength in and of yourself? Are you saying, I have no power to do any of these things apart from the grace of God on high? Have you been brought to feel that there is nothing that you can do apart from the strength of the Holy Spirit? Have you come to your wit's end? You've tried resolutions, and each one of them has failed you. You've looked to religious traditions, but you have found them empty and powerless. The lost person I addressed this morning has tried scheme after scheme after scheme, only to find them all useless, and they yet cry, "What must I do to be saved?" Have you given up hope, saying, "I have no reason to hope that Christ will have mercy upon me. He might save everyone else in the whole world, but he's never going to look upon me with eyes of compassion." Have I described you lost? Will you answer your name as the prodigal son, as a lost child? Then hear this. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Look at the blessed Jesus, clothed as a shepherd, seeking his wandering sheep. Hear him calling your name. He says, "My sheep, hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." Cry out to him, O little lost lamb. Trust him. Surrender him. Surrender to him as he picks you up and bears you on his shoulder. Are you lost? Then here is a promise for you. I will seek that which was lost. And if you will yield to him, your testimony may be even this afternoon: Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. He seeks the lost. That's our first category of person. Our second category, the second person he speaks of in verse 16, are those who are driven away. Driven away. They are Christ's sheep, and they used to be near. But currently, they are afar off from him, following at a distance. They're driven away. And this can only be describing a backsliding believer. We spoke about this phenomenon last Sunday evening. This alarming tendency in Christ's sheep to depart from their shepherd. We are prone to wander. Our backslidings are many. Has sin driven you away from the Lord? Have strong temptations been like a goad to lead you to follow the dictates of your own will and your own way? You read your Bible with no spiritual taste. You have no nearness to the throne of grace when you pray. You chafe under the commands of Scripture and would rather hear the consolations and the promises than the commands. You're uncharitable toward other Christians. You have few personal dealings with Jesus Christ. Examine your heart. Pray that God's searching would reveal to you your true self. It is never safe to have peace while in a spiritually declining and decaying condition. And take all your backsliding to Christ, your shepherd. Return to him. Draw nigh to him, and he will draw nigh to you. He asks you this morning, why are you standing at such a distance from me? Your shepherd is searching for you. Searching for you right now. What has the Lord been to you? Has he ever been like one of these false shepherds who cares nothing for the sheep but for their wool? Then why have you left him so? Has he ever been harsh with you? Has he ever been vindictive? Has he ever been severe? Why is it that we should live under such a benevolent shepherd and yet always be rebelling against him and wandering from him? What is there in God that we should leave him, that we should mistrust him? What is there in Christ that we should wound him? What is there in the Holy Spirit that we should grieve him so? And in spite of all of our foolish and all of our hurtful departures from him, he promises here to bring again that which was driven away. Oh, and nothing, nothing but infinite, nothing but eternal, nothing but unchangeable love could ever move God or prompt him to such an act as to bring again and again and again and again those who depart from him. Oh, the love of Jesus, who will not allow his sheep to wander forever, who will yearn after his departing sheep, who will seek that backslider, who will follow that little wandering lamb through every turn and wandering through all their devious way. A love that no ingratitude, a love that no lack of love returned can cool, a love that no distance has been able to destroy, an eternal and infinite love that brings again that which was driven away. And oh, what a gentle shepherd he is. There is his wandering sheep, too feeble to walk, too exhausted from his wanderings to return. And the gentle shepherd, having found his little lost lamb, scoops it up in his arms and carries it on his shoulders, rejoicing all the way, not scolding, not chiding, rejoicing that one of his little lambs that has wandered away has again been found and comes back to the fold. Oh, remember where you have fallen. Repent. Humble yourself. And through the cross, look up again at a God of pardoning grace. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. He brings again that which was driven away. So we have the lost, and we have the driven away. And then there is a third category of people who are promised to receive Christ's restoring grace. He says, I will bind up that which was broken. The child of God is often broken. He's often broken. The child of God may especially find himself broken if he has been a wandering lamb, if he's been a backslider. Wandering far off from his shepherd, he's exposed himself to many dangers. And he's going to come back with bruises and maybe even some broken limbs. He'll return limping. The scriptures speak of believers who have taken a spiritual fall in just those terms, as needing a broken bone mended. Galatians 6 and verse 1 says that there are times when brethren are overtaken in faults. They're snared in a trap. And the responsibility of other believers in their experience is to restore such a one. And that word restore literally means to mend a broken bone. To mend. To set a broken limb. Satan lays snares. And when one of Christ's sheep stumble into that trap will break their leg and cause them to limp. And it may be that you this morning have a spiritual condition that can be described in physical terms. You have a spirit that is torn. You have a lameness in your being. You're limping. You need repairing. You need mending. Something needs to be reset in you. And ultimately, while fellow believers in the body of Jesus Christ have this shared privilege and duty to be restoring each other, ultimately, you need your shepherd to bind up that which is broken. And Peter promises in 1 Peter 5:10, that the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect. And that word perfect is the same word restore, the same word mend, mend a broken limb. Christ your shepherd binds up that which was broken. Do you need mended? Have you taken a wound? Resort to your shepherd. He will receive you. He sees you limping. He sees you limping back with grimacing eyes looking upon him. And he'll pick you up, and he will not berate you for wandering. And he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. And there are other ways that Christ's sheep may be broken. Perhaps you're broken through sorrow. Hearts are broken through disappointment. Hearts are broken through bereavement. There are 10,000 ways in this world that hearts might be broken. But Christ is good at healing all manner. He mends all manner of broken hearts. So come to Him, all that are burdened, all that are laboring and heavy laden. Come with all of your sorrow, sorrow be what it may. And come to Him, all those whose hearts are broken, and apply to Him for the mending of a broken heart. And then there is that special brokenness we spoke of last Sunday night and this past Wednesday evening as well. Brokenness for sin. Has your heart been broken over your sin? Christ heals a broken heart that is grieved and humbled and that laments and that regrets sin. When you think of your lost years, when you think of the scars that you've taken, when you think of the opportunities that you've squandered and lost, are you full of regret? And is your heart broken over your sin? Christ Jesus binds up that which was broken. Have you cried out, "Woe, woe is me, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Has God brought home to you the iniquity and the infinite evil that sin is? Do you hate the sin that drove you from Christ? Then resort to your shepherd. He mends broken hearts over sin. He says, "I will bind up that which was broken." And never yet has God spurned a lowly, penitent sinner who comes to Him with a heart broken over sin. He binds up that which was broken. And then there is this final category He promises to restore. He says, "But I will strengthen that which was sick." I will strengthen that which was sick. Since here He speaks of strengthening rather than using the word healing, I'm going to take the sickness not necessarily as disease, but more generally as weakness. You know how it is when you've had a broken bone, and that broken bone has been set, and then it has been mended, and you've been in a cast for some 6 to 8 weeks, and now the bone is healed, but the cast comes off, and whatever limb it was that had been broken is now very much weakened, in a weakened condition. And since this description follows the description, "I will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick," I want to see here a promise to strengthen that which was weak, a promise to strengthen us in our weakness. One of the great obstacles for a fallen believer in his return to Jesus Christ is a fear of falling again, because he knows and he senses in himself a great spiritual weakness. And many a believer has stayed down and has not come back to his shepherd because he fears falling again. But God promises to strengthen you in all your weaknesses, to give you everything you need to stand upright, to keep you with His guardian grace. Do you know a spiritual weakness? Do you know weakness in your walk with God? Then you stand in need of a fresh sight of the Lord Jesus, your mighty Savior, that good shepherd who gave his life for his sheep. This is the way that he strengthens his sheep. He strengthens his sheep ultimately by displaying his own glorious might before him, so that in all of their weakness, they will resort more often and more quickly to his might and to his strength, their great champion, their great shepherd who goes before them. And so let us turn our eyes to this good shepherd that gave his life for his sheep. If it were not for a crucified Savior, there would be no possibility of restoring. There would be no possibility of returning to God. No mere repentance, no mere humiliation of spirit, no mere brokenheartedness or confession of sin could entitle a soul to any of God's pardon. It was only the mighty obedience of Jesus, obedience to the death of the cross, that could open up the way of this full and free pardon. And that pardon, full and free, is seen in every drop of his precious blood spilled at his cross. He put away sin. And his cross opens the door which no man can shut. A door for every wanderer away from God. How glorious and how free his mercy is. And in this door, the lame and the broken and the wandering and the prodigals and the guilty criminals and the diseased have come in and resorted for all that they needed their shepherds to do. All are welcome through this door of mercy. The death of Christ is the revelation of God's mercy. It's a revelation of the heart of God for every sinner. What more could he have done? What stronger proof could you have offered to you than this? And through this door, you may come. Lost, driven away, broken, sickly and weak. Through this door, you may come. As weak and as helpless as you are, for all strength is in him. Trust this shepherd to be everything he says that he is, to do everything that he says in this text to do. You have no reason to mistrust him. What has he ever done to let you down in the past? How often has he berated you? Or been severe or harsh with you when you've come back from your former wanderings? And the very fact that you're hearing these words now, and the very fact that you have an inkling of the desire within your heart to return and to say, oh, how good it would be to have a clear conscience again. Oh, how good it would be to be right with God again. Oh, how precious it would be to be near him again. The very fact that you have any thought in that direction is the grace of God wooing you back to him. So will you come to him and return and have this restoring grace, this balm applied to your soul? Is he seeking any lost sheep this morning? Is he bringing back any that have been driven away? Is he binding up any who have been broken? Is he strengthening any that are sick? No matter how weak, no matter how wandering, no matter how scarred, no matter how friendless, no matter how hopeless you have been, he is the restorer of our souls. And he says, I will seek that which was lost. and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. Amen. Let us stand together as we pray. O Lord, our gracious God and kind Heavenly Father, the Shepherd and Bishop of our souls, we apply unto Thee afresh now in the quietness of this hour to restore our souls and to meet every spiritual need in the presence of this sanctuary this morning. Exalt the Lord Jesus as a Prince and a Savior, as the Good Shepherd of His sheep, and meet every need here. For Thy eternal glory, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.